Howdy folks, Tex here, and we're going to talk Battletech. The topic of this episode is the poster child of the franchise. Yes, that one. To some, it's a gaudy waste of C-bills and a superbly inviting target. To others, it's a brilliantly balanced modular weapon system capable of fulfilling any mission parameters and winning any engagement with a capable pilot. Some call it a Mad Cat. Some call it a Timberwolf. For certain fans, it is the definitive centerpiece to the entire franchise in lore and design emphasis. To the haters, it is the argument of style versus substance incarnate. To the chosen few of the Clan War Machine, she is a goddess of the battlefield, smiting down the unworthy in righteous fire. To the Inner Sphere, it is a harbinger of hard times, of uneven fights and dark days ahead. It has been called a game changer, a force multiplier, a mighty engine of war driven by the best in pursuit of their... Oh wait, they lost, didn't they? So what the fuck is the big deal with the fucking Mad Cat? Let's get into that on this episode of Tex Talks Battletech. When the clan decided to throw down on the Inner Sphere, they came through the periphery, eradicating scant resistance in the form of pirates, pocket empires, single-system nation-states, and the like. In 3049, on an asteroid that fell into the range of barely habitable, a mercenary company of the Kellhounds were under contract to hunt down pirates in a forgettable system called the Rock. A scout lance ran into a band of unknowns, and a pilot was confused to encounter a glitch. You see, Phelan Kell's wolfhound was having trouble telling him what in the fuck was shooting at him, in between his opponent yelling about claims and bondsmen and all that jazz. The targeting computer said Mad Cat, because it looked kind of like a cross between a marauder and a catapult. Also, Inner Sphere equipment tends to be dumb and badly made. See? There, I made a joke about my stuff. We're equal now, you clanners. So when the survivors of the mercenary company managed to limp back into the Inner Sphere talking about crazy shit like mechs nobody's ever seen before, driven by brilliantly dangerous pilots, and had records to prove their crazy stories were true, a name was applied. Mad Cat. By this guy. Who works for Space AT&T. Once in contact with regular forces, the Mad Cat continued its rampage, serving brilliantly in the name of Clan Wolf. In nearly every engagement, it made its prowess known through brilliant engineering applied by the best pilots the Inner Sphere had ever seen. Which was something nobody could surely have seen coming, and warned every man, woman, and child that hell was on the horizon and coming straight at us. Surely, nobody at all. At all. Anyways, saying that it tended to win engagements is putting it lightly. Clan equipment tended to blow away fully garrisoned defensive armies like dandelions. As it turns out, having a warrior culture tends to breed effective warriors. Having generations of pilots trained on a single weapon system and hyper-competitive warrior culture makes for a very effective means by which to wage war. For a time. Anyways, in engagement after engagement, the Mad Cat could easily make short work of equivalent tonnage mechs and comfortably swing above its weight. It was not uncommon during this time to hear of a clan-heavy star engaging multiple seemingly equivalent lances before retreating with minor damage, leaving all the Inner Sphere equipment comparatively and completely humbled. Throughout the invasion, the Mad Cat fought on the front lines, clanners introducing their Inner Sphere adversaries to a whole new style of warfare, where their enemies had better stuff and used it to win, seemingly effortlessly. All in all, the Mad Cat is an exceptional weapon system within short, high-intensity conflicts, exactly the sort of war the clans excel at. However, that is not to say they haven't found appreciation in the Inner Sphere. While supremely expensive for a heavy mech at 24,233,124 C-bills, an amount of money that would buy any mercenary company 3 Black Knights, or 17 urban mechs, or an early comfortable retirement, the Mad Cat or Timberwolf has found its place in the hands of pilots rich enough to acquire them, and most visibly in the Solaris 7 arena. Why? Well, it's an Omni-Mech dummy. It can be anything. It's Legos with weapons. It's perfect for small-scale, high-intensity battles where having choice in how you fight is just as important as anything else. It's a mech gladiator's wet dream. It's a masterful weapon system, coveted by all who've seen it fight regardless of their allegiance. Let's move on to the design specs. The Timberwolf began mass production in 2945, giving the designers and industrial base 104 years to work out the kinks before war with the Inner Sphere began in earnest. In fact, having a system in production for that span of time largely means you have generations of warriors trained to fight with it and figuring out what tactics work best within its designed capabilities. And boy, what capabilities it does have. Unfortunately, for reasons I'll expound upon later, it was decided to be built at one and only one facility on Strana Mechti. This mech was all the rarer during the Clan invasion because Clan Wolf realized they had a hell of a war machine and jealously defended it, so much so that the only way for anyone other than Clan Wolf to possess one was through gift-giving or battlefield salvage. Fun fact, it's hard to salvage clan technology because salvage is traditionally reserved for winners. As a 75-ton amalgamation of endosteel and ferrofibrous armor, the Mad Cat in its prime configuration clips along at 86.4 kilometers an hour, or in moon landing units, that's about 53 miles an hour. With double heat sinks and top-of-the-line technology, whatever build you can dream up, the Mad Cat has you covered. Unless you're Solaris Jock, then it's going to break, because you're going to take something nice and ruin it in 90 seconds of glory, aren't you? Let's get into the makes and models, shall we? The primary configuration, or that is the Clan Invasion era primary default standard murder Intersphere with ease and then maybe go back to the drinking den version, is a whole lot of ass-blasting weaponry on a mobile weapon system. Two LRM-20s because fuck you at range, two ER-large lasers to engage targets at medium range, and yes, with Clan tech, ER-large lasers are for medium range, two ER-medium lasers for lesser medium range, and a medium pulse laser for disco death mode, and two machine guns because infantry need to die as well. Alternative configuration Alpha, configured specifically for long-range direct fire support, think asshole sniper and you won't be far off. Two ERPBCs for long-range shenanigans, three medium pulse lasers for short-range shenanigans, and if anyone gets too uncomfortably close, a Streak SRM-6 to introduce them to the concentrated hate that is Clanner missile tech. Alternative configuration Beta is a confused mess of weapons, offering a little bit for everybody and lacking any real focus. To me, it says, this is for training. See what you like. You get a Gauss rifle, an LRM-10 launcher, a large pulse laser, a small pulse laser, an SRM-4, and it's all linked by an Artemis IV fire control system, so the missiles group just a little better. Just because they care. Alternative configuration Charlie, well, the Charlie is almost like an alt take on the Prime. You get two ER large lasers and an Ultra AC-5 autocannon. You get two LRM-15s, and for closer in, you get an ER medium laser and an anti-missile system for any return fire fears. Alternative configuration Delta. This layout, sometimes called the Frankenstein, is a series of ideas joined by a theme called I'm here to kick ass and claim bondsmen, and I'm all out of bondsmen. Two ERPPCs at the primaries, and the secondaries are four Streak SRM-6 launchers. One on each torso is rear-facing as an option because sneak up on me and get blasted, son. Then they added an ER small laser to shoot birds or something. You're not allowed to shit on clan tech, apparently, and clanners are sadistic bastards. Configuration Echo centers around the advanced tactical missile system with two ARM-9 launchers, a light tag designator, and two ER large lasers, In a sense, it's a fire support take on the Prime, with an ability to call in Aero 4 support as needed. Seeing as the Inner Sphere was nearly out of Aero 4 munitions and launchers were relegated to museums as long-lost technology from a more civilized age, this mech was a horrifying surprise in that it ruined everything and brought the hammer down on things that it couldn't outright destroy. Configuration Foxtrot seems to be more mindful of infantry, in that it wants to kill them. It replaces the pulse laser with an ER medium laser, and with the savings, throws those into anti-personnel Gauss rifles because nothing says fun for infantrymen like being exploded. Configuration Otel is your Swiss Army knife build. Two LRM-20s with Artemis IV fire control for long-range precise volleys. For close range, you get two heavy large lasers which reliably delete a ton of armor with every trigger pull. There's also an ER small laser because, as I said, birds are not allowed to shit on clan tech. It's dishonorable. Here's where things get interesting. There are spin-offs on this design. Yeah. The Inner Sphere had the gall to try to copy it and did so with the Rakshasa, which was almost as expensive, far less capable, and generally a disappointment. It's like a Mad Cat that was put together in the dark. Think of it as Diablo 3 to Diablo 2, with 2 being the OG Mad Cat. And it's not a sin that they made a worse mech, it's a sin that they tried. Same lesson stands for Diablo. You hear me, Blizzard? Anyways, in addition, there are 2 generations of offspring for the Mad Cat, the Mark II and III. Mark II is an assault mech because why not just give it more weapons and armor like a proper asshole? Now it's even more deadly. It comes standard with 2 Gauss rifles and has other things that make you want to cry. It's full bore ridiculous and wonderful to pilot. If the Mad Cat was a wrestler, the Mad Cat II would be Macho Man Randy Savage. Because expect the unexpected in the Kingdom of Madness. Oh yeah.
Dig it!
The Mark III is a step in the opposite, and some would argue wrong, direction. It's a medium mech with definitive design cues taken from the original Mad Cat. Insofar as medium mechs go, it's terrifying. It has 2 LRM-20s, because compromise is for losers. If this mech didn't have notable mighty warriors, it would be a failure. It does not disappoint, with quite a few examples for the purposes of this discussion. The first notable is Pryde, spelled P-R-Y-D-E, after the blood name. I'm referring, of course, to Star Colonel Aiden Pryde, who piloted one with the Falcon Guards on Tukiat in 3052. From Presno Plain to Robin's Crossing, Aiden's Timberwolf made hell for the Comm Guards. He fought until overrun by the Comm Guard 4th Army, taking down a company of war machines with minimal support. His build is remembered for having a quartet of jump jets, adding respectably to its already decent mobility. In addition, the Bounty Hunter drove one at various points throughout his... well, her... well, look, I can do a whole episode on this character. Just suffice to say he's the setting's Dread Pirate Roberts. The Bounty Hunter had 2 identified builds. The first with large pulse lasers and medium pulse lasers backed by an active probe, full ECM suite, and a targeting computer. The second was Jihad Era, and was a Franken build with large pulse lasers, medium lasers, SRM-4s, Streak SRM-4s, anti-personnel Gauss rifles, ER small lasers, targeting computers, coolant pods, and jump jets, plus ammo. Because why not? There's also the many infamous builds for Solaris jocks, but, well, they tend not to last that long. And any secrets they may hold are at the bottom of a smoking crater. And now, if I may, I'd like to offer an unpopular opinion. Having built a solid foundation as an outspoken asshole and battle mech expert with strongly worded opinions, I would like to say the following is an unpopular opinion. Some consider the Mad Cat or Timberwolf a game changer. That it is the stompiest of the stompies, the most DACA of the DACA, the best balanced weapon system there ever was in the setting. But let me state an unpopular opinion, at least a lore-friendly one. What if I say it isn't? What if I say it's a prime example as to why the Clanners lost? Right now, somebody is mashing that downvote button, but hear me out. Let's open the history books of the 20th century. There's an army that designs and builds exceptionally lethal weapon systems, an army that arguably has the best fighters, warriors, and training the world has ever seen. At least to that point. This army had mighty warriors who could fight 10 times their number and win. One managed to knock out 168 tanks in a matter of years. When this nation attacked, it easily stormed over the enemy, defeating them soundly in battle after battle thanks to better organizational doctrine, training, and preparedness. Their tools, too, maintained an edge over their opponents, creating fantastic armored vehicles that decimated the enemy for a time. But as the war ground on, resources became strained. As the war ground on, manpower was no longer available. And as it turns out, being able to make the finest vehicles for war doesn't mean much if you can't make all that many of them. Or if you can't replace those warriors lost with equally talented ones and in similar numbers. Also, as it turns out, attacking a bunch of people means that ultimately sometimes they will set aside their differences and stop you, and in the process unleash their full industrial power for one purpose, making you die. Consider the following. There were 1,347 Tiger I tanks made, ever. Meanwhile, there are 49,234 Shermans. There were 35,488 base model T-34s made during the war, and another 23,213 T-34-85s. While the early T-34 could run maybe 200 clicks before the engines wore out, it was enough to get the job done. History isn't always about quality. It's about quantity. War is not often kind to the side that makes fewer weapons. War does not often reward nations with the audacity to fight a superior industrial base for a prolonged period of time. As well, history's lesson for us seems to be that building all your weapons in relatively few places and relatively few numbers for relatively few carefully chosen people is a bad fucking idea. This is complicated by having an enormously long supply chain, a rigid system of belief that prevents you from utilizing your full might without serious loss of honor. This is then complicated by maintaining a large force of high-tech equipment that may not react well to the rigors of prolonged conflict far from home. And to note that any supplies, replacement parts, or pilots must be sent from far, far away. All of this is then made worse when a war does drag on, because whatever you might think, war has a tendency to change. War has a tendency to surprise both sides. War has a tendency to resolve nothing but who has the larger industrial base and who is willing to grind people to dirt for the satisfaction of victory. The Mad Cat may be the finest weapon of war yet devised in this setting. It may be near perfect as battle mechs go. But, thankfully, it was too little for too few to make a big enough impact. Intersphere historians shudder at what might have happened had the clans had enough time to prepare better. But they didn't, because the invasion wasn't planned by especially smart people, just tough ones seeking glory. The Mad Cat, like many other clan mechs, was designed principally for clan warfare, where both sides agreed to the rules and regulations. Both sides follow a strict code of honor. Both sides have a limited number of forces to accomplish a strategic objective, and then afterward it is resolved swiftly and without much lingering concern as to supply situations. The Mad Cat, like many other pieces of clan equipment, were designed for limited-scale warfare between people having galactic slap fights for honor or whatever else. It wasn't until they fought the Sphere that they realized they may have made some goddamn mistakes. But that's a story for another time. To sum things up, the Mad Cat is an awesome weapon of war with few notable exceptions. Those exceptions being if you have to pay for it, repair it, buy spare parts, support logistics, and or fight a prolonged conflict with it in your inventory while spare parts and pilots are many hundred light years away at best. Also, I want to say this, and this may strike some people wrong. I am an asshole. This is an opinion. You can disagree with me. But I'm still an asshole. I want to thank Sarna.net for being the best fucking wiki in the universe and an awesome source of information, inspiration, and deep lore knowledge. I want to thank my editor, who puts up with my nonsense, for going any social interaction for long periods of time to make sure the urban mech memes flow like water. I want to thank my fan base, who fund this nonsense month after month because they like throwing money at an idiot like me. Thank you for tuning in. Next time, the catapult.
Mysterious invaders known as the Clan.
What's up, Cold Breeze?
Hey, Pops.
Don't call me Pops.
Hey. You like battle mechs? Hi, I'm Discount Dan, and I want to tell you about my business. Discount Dan's Mech Superstore, Warehouse, Spare Parts, and Term Life Insurance Emporium. Let me ask you something, friendo. Are you at all interested in buying your way to glory? Do you want to be feared? Do you want to be respected? You're looking for a killing tool because you broke the last one? Then come on down to Discount Dan's Surplus Mech Warehouse between the Triple F Burger and Steiner Arena South Entrance, Solaris 7. I got light mechs, I got heavy mechs, I got assault mechs. I have like literally 36 hunchbacks. Nobody buys those. Nobody. Nobody buys a hunchback, but you might. Maybe you will. I bet you will. Please buy a hunchback. Look, I got catapults for days. We got new catapults, used catapults, catapult parts, catapult chairs. Listen, we got the biggest aftermarket catapult parts emporium as a recognized, licensed, bonded, and noted catapult aftermarket accessory installation outlet. You got money? Come on down. I'll help you burn it. I will burn that money right out of your fucking hands because I am Discount Dan, and that's what I do because I care.